Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Of course, you would expect that everybody would be talking about the championship-like performance from Steph Curry in Game 2, except when my mom texted me about the game, she brought up Kendrick Perkins. Of course. And then when I called her, that was the first thing she said. She asked me, so what did you think of game two? And I you know, said a couple of things, blah, blah, blah. And her response was, well, Steph Curry and Kendrick Perkins were going at it. She likes Kendrick Perkins because he's a former Celtic. And so she knows Kendrick Perkins because of his time with Boston. And that's what stood out to her about game number two. Of course, I was not at all surprised to hear that. And can I just tell you the honest truth? Kendrick Perkins was trending on Twitter at the end of the third quarter. Apparently the Warriors are upset because when Steph was kind of in that bench area around the Cavaliers having taken a shot from over there, either Kendrick didn't move or he didn't bend his legs or he didn't get out of the way. Something happened that the Warriors were not happy about, whatever, whatever. And so they were ticked off and Steph said something to him and then Twitter blows up. So for a while, thank you, Coach Jackson. Kendrick Perkins was trending on Twitter and I thought that was kind of funny considering that, I mean, yes, he is a member of the Cavaliers, but he's also not active for this series. And that was probably the only way he was going to trend on Twitter, short of maybe going out onto the court and pulling a WWE move on someone. So that was what my mom noticed. What did you notice? Was it also Kendrick Perkins? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. And you're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I've now started something with my Last Jedi tweet. Also, I'm not even going to tell you about the poll. You have to go check out the poll. It does not surprise me at all that our latest show poll is pretty much dead even among the three options. It's like when you talk politics in this country, there's such a great divide. Well, there's a great divide when you talk about LeBron or the NBA Finals as well. So you can check that out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then our Facebook page, too. There are always photos. Oh, and this is a good photo. It's a picture that's worth a thousand words. And it really sums up the NBA Finals quite nicely, at least to this point, the two guys that are in the picture. So you can reach us however you like. And this is our first show of the work week. It's a crazy work week for sure. There's all kinds of stuff happening. This is producer Tom's last week. Isaac's going on vacation. I'm going to Atlanta for a few days. And so not only am I speaking at the Daniels Summit in Atlanta, but I'm also hosting two shows from the brand new ballpark. So SunTrust Park, I'm really looking forward to seeing it for the first time completed. The last time I was in Atlanta, well, let me rephrase. I drove through Atlanta on my way home from Houston at Christmas time, but I wasn't anywhere near the ballpark. The last time I was near the ballpark, was it a year and a half ago? I'm not exactly sure when it was. I'd have to think back to it. Maybe the summer of 2016, maybe. But the park was being built at the time. So I've not seen it finished. I've only seen it when it was half up and when they were still trying to figure out where are people going to park and how are people going to get here? And it's in the middle of neighborhoods. But the park was in the process of being constructed then. So if that fits with 2016, then that's when it was. Anyway, so that's really exciting. We're going to have a couple of shows from the park because that's where the studios are that will be hosting the show. There's a lot happening over the next few days, and we're glad that you are along for the ride. LeBron James did look tired late in this game, maybe in the fourth quarter or so. And I know that the starters didn't play the entire fourth quarter once Steph Curry and the Warriors went on their run. But he definitely did look like he was fatigued. Now, they've got plenty of time off before game number three, and I am confident that will not be a problem. It won't be an issue come Wednesday night. I mean, think about it. Sure, they have to travel back to Cleveland, but there's plenty of time now to rest and to regain your footing. And there was this one particular LeBron comment Saturday that I thought was pretty interesting. He was talking about sleep and taking advantage of the hours that you need to sleep now when you get older. And he also talked about how when he first got into the league, he was 18 years old, and he did nice. He didn't even tape anything, no ankles, no knees, no nothing. Nothing's taped. He didn't have any aches and pains. He would stay up all night, and then he would play 48 minutes the next day, and there would be no problems. But obviously, that's not what happens when you get older. That is not real life. Those of you who are young, that's not real life. I don't even play NBA basketball, and I know that's not real life. Father time waits for no man or woman eventually. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. And now here he is attempting to do whatever he can, whatever it takes. And that's kind of the hashtag that you see on Twitter about the Cleveland Cavaliers, except LeBron still is a human being and he can only do so much. And so here you've got a LeBron who did get another double-double from Kevin Love. So you've had back-to-back performances in which Love has delivered the double figures. And he was really good in the third quarter. So the Cavaliers' run in the third quarter was sparked by Kevin Love. He ended up being the catalyst for them as opposed to it being only LeBron James.
People don't like Kevin Love.
You had George Hill in double figures. He was very active early. Tristan Thompson, you know, he's out there and he's playing physical when he's on the court. Ty Lue tried a lot of different lineups in this game. And some of them, I kind of wondered what he was doing. If he was maybe just throwing a bunch of guys out there to see if anything would work. But he says, and this is, you know, despite later in the game, him kind of going with hodgepodge rotations that I didn't really understand. He says the problem for the Cavs came at the very beginning.
I didn't think we started the game like we needed to start. You know, I think not being physical enough. They scored, I think, 8 in a row to start the game. So, you know, we can't start the game like that. You know, but that being said, we still, you know, fought and clawed back at the end of the quarter, being down 4, which was good for us. But we had to start the game better, you know, being more physical, breaking the physicality, and we didn't do that tonight to start.
Yeah, that was a big difference in the first half for the Cavaliers, game 1 versus game 2. Now, I'm not sure there's so much that you can do when you've got shooters who are hot, but the Warriors did start out hitting 10 of their 11 shots. And so they built that 9-point lead early. And it was a concerted effort by LeBron to get the rest of his teammates involved. Now, I don't know if it's always a detriment to the Cavaliers. I think it depends on the opponent. It depends on the time. It depends on the place. But early on, he was eschewing the shot himself, and he was trying to get his guys involved. Probably would have had more assists early on. He did finish with, 12, 13 assists? Probably would have had more of them early on had it not been for some missed shots, had it not been for some fouls that were called when his teammates attempted to take advantage of that. And so I felt like he was really doing his absolute best to get as many people involved in the game as he could. But the Warriors were doing the same thing. I like the move by Steve Kerr to put JaVale McGee out there to start because they had gotten so manhandled on the boards. Now, part of that was effort, but part of that is having a big body in the lane. And so JaVale McGee made a big difference. He's very active. He rolls straight to the hoop. He's obviously a huge target with big hands. And sometimes he doesn't catch the ball, right? Sometimes he blocks himself on the bottom of the rim. But you know what, JaVale McGee? Steph Curry did that in game number 2. He actually went to take a layup and got blocked by the underside of the rim. So it's not just JaVale McGee, though he's probably a foot taller. But anyway, I like the move by Steve Kerr to start because they were committed to not allowing the Cavaliers to run roughshod on the boards. And actually, for a good portion of this game, the Warriors had more rebounds. Now, they also had a lot more missed shots by the Cavaliers to try to take advantage of, and they still gave up too many offensive rebounds. But there was a commitment to rebounding that really stood out to me as well. And so early on, it was a good give and take. Every time the Warriors would go on a bit of a surge, the Cavaliers would answer until you got to the end there. Now, Kevin Durant was great. Klay Thompson was efficient. He had the 20 points. But it's Steph that will remember. It's Steph that the Cavaliers will remember.
Every shot that he takes that goes in, he has a business of making them. That's what he does. So shouldn't be surprised or deflated at it. You know, take the ball out, move it forward, and try to execute on another end.
I mean, I can't say I knew he had 9 threes or it was a finals record, but you definitely notice the looks on their faces when he hits some of the shots. It's like dagger after dagger. Play great defense, and he pull up and hit a three in your face. You definitely notice, you know, the effect that it has on the opposing team.
Did you guys see the pictures? And I don't know if they were turned into GIFs. I don't know if they were turned into memes. I'm not really sure. I just know that I saw a lot of Kevin Love's incredulous face. And there was one particular photo from the side of Steph Curry's head, kind of focusing on Love off to his right. And this look of, what? Like, did he really just make that shot? And so after making J.R. Smith the butt of so many Twitter jokes, after game number one, well, Kevin Love got his turn in the spotlight because very often he was left out there on the perimeter attempting to guard Steph Curry. And it almost worked, by the way. No, I'm telling the truth. It almost worked, by the way, on that one particular shot that just was a jaw dropper where you just say, come on, Steph, stop it. What is that? What did you just do? Seriously.
Shot clock at 8. Curry gives it up to Draymond down low. Draymond has to go with 5. Pass back to Curry. Curry's fumbled it, gets it, checks the clock with 3, with 2. Backs up, shoots a fadeaway rainbow 3. Got it! Oh, he hit it! It was a circus shot by Curry. It had no chance. It had no chance of going in, but he nailed it. And the Warriors lead by 14.
I actually lost the dribble for a hot second, and the only way to get a shot was to keep going back. And I mean, I try all sorts of shots at some point or another, but at that point, it's just feel and let it go, and thankfully it went in. And a big moment where we had a significant lead, we could extend it a little bit and create some separation down the stretch, and it was a cool moment for sure.
It definitely was, and the stunned reaction by the fans there inside Oracle was fantastic. Because as Tim Roy says on the Warriors Radio Network, that had no chance. He just heaved it up there. It was like a chuck and duck.
And Oracle has turned into Oracle.
And it comes off of him losing the handle there momentarily, and he's not even faced up, and it's not even a two-headed shot. And it, just one of those moments where you have to say, okay, Steph, you win this round. All right, so what are you more interested in right now? There's a mini debate taking place on our Facebook page and also on Twitter. Like, I don't think we've ever had a poll that's been quite like this one in terms of the dissemination of the votes. You have to go check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Just go look. We're asking you on Twitter in this poll, are you more interested in the NBA Finals or LeBron's offseason free agency? And then there's a third option in there, which I'll let you go check out. And yeah, I mean, it couldn't be closer, which doesn't surprise me at all. Since I constantly speaking to a nation of sports fans, I kind of get it. We're pretty divided. So yeah, amazing performance for Steph after the opener going to LeBron James and in terms of the highlight reel and him grabbing that. But now the scene shifts to Cleveland for game number 3. I know not until Wednesday, but how much could change? How much will change? How much do you expect to change in game number 3? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Thompson will take it. That's Clay. Clay dribbles on J.R. Smith, pulls up for a three, and he knocked it down in transition. The new Millennium Fast Break makes it 72-61 Warriors.
I don't want to play with it. You know, it's something that you just you use a lot. I didn't know. I don't realize how much you use your ankle till you hurt it. But I'm gonna.
You should have asked me.
Yeah.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I mean, there's so much there. You don't know how much you use your ankle or need your ankle until you hurt it. Oh. I think I feel like I am pretty aware of how much I use my ankle. Any part of my foot, my leg, all of that is necessary. Yeah, but Clay says, you know, because he was the one that was the recipient of that slip and fall, that first great moment for J.R. Smith in the NBA Finals. And he left the game in the first quarter of the opener, came back for the second quarter, and was able to play and was a little tender for game two, but did start. And I mean, he was good. He didn't play nearly as many minutes as, say, Steph Curry did. I don't know that they limited his. Actually, I shouldn't say that. He did play 34 minutes. So he was out there for a long period of time. It looked like at times when he went up for a shot, especially a long distance shot, when he came down, he kind of lifted that leg up, that foot up, so it wouldn't be hitting the ground the same way. But he was 8 of 13 from the floor. He hit three triples. And he did what Klay Thompson does, and plenty of moving without the basketball. So all of that requires your ankle. And then you hear Steph Curry next to him say, you should have asked me. And obviously, anybody who's followed Steph Curry's career knows how many issues he's had with his ankles and how much time he's missed because of ankle injuries. And so it's good that they could laugh about it. It's always easy to laugh after a loss. No,
you know, you shake it off.
It's always easy to laugh after you come up with a big win and the other team is now down 0-2. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our number, 855-212-4227. Again, Tim Roy is the play-by-play voice of the Golden State Warriors Network. So now what? Now they get a chance to go home. The Cavaliers were just down 0-2 to Boston. They were also down 0-2 to the Warriors in the 2016 NBA Finals. And we know that some of these guys, like J.R. Smith, typically play better at home than they do on the road.
Home court advantage is, can be a real thing. I mean, you look at how good the Warriors are here at Oracle. I mean, it's the same for us at home. We feel like we feed off of our crowd. We really get up to play at home, and we know that come Wednesday we're going to have to be better. Have to make sure that we really bring it in Game Three, because I mean that's really the game right there. This is a team that you don't want to be down 0-3 against. We know that, but I was mentioning in the locker room. I was talking about any time that KD is really hitting shots and that such a high clip. He was 10 of 14 tonight for 26 points, and he was a plus 24 and plus minus. So they're very tough to stop when he's hitting shots and when he has it going. And a lot of people are going to talk about Steph's game and Klay having 20 as well, but. I thought KD was, the guy that really had it going tonight for them and was a difference maker.
Kevin Durant had his best game of the playoffs in quite a while to be in that kind of rhythm. But also what Jim Barnett mentioned to us last hour, that most of his shots weren't coming off ISO plays where he was generating them himself. Most of his shots were coming off passes from his teammates. And also, oh, this is something else my mom noted on the phone. She didn't know what they were called. She called them short shots. But the mid-range jumpers, we don't see a lot of those in the NBA. There are very few guys that will use the mid-range jumper on a regular basis. And
yeah, how stupid.
Mom called them short shots. But Sean Livingston, he is great at the mid-range jumper. You rarely see Livingston take a three. You also rarely see David West take a three. But he did, in fact, hit his first one of the playoffs from the corner in his 11 minutes. And it was a big moment for the Warriors. But yeah, Livingston recognizes his range and he knows where his comfort zone is. His wheelhouse, it's the mid-range jumper. And so he was 5 for 5 and provided a great lift off the bench for the Warriors, had 10 points. And remember, he also had 6 points in overtime as the Warriors were starting out and scoring the first nine in that extra period in game one. He had started in place of Kevon Looney, and there was no JaVale McGee. It was him. And he was playing that role of Andre Iguodala. And so he was able to really spark the offense. And one of the things he does really well is that he fakes the pick and then he rolls. So it's a roll without the pick. It's called a slip. But anyway, you cut like you're about to set a pick, and then you drop toward the hoop as opposed to actually setting the pick and rolling. You try to fake out your defender and get your defender moving forward like he's anticipating the switch. And very often in basketball, if a defender sees a play more than once, if a defender has prepared for a game and recognizes what the opponent does. And in the case of the Warriors, they do a lot of pick and rolls. In fact, every team really with great shooters will do a ton of pick and rolls. But you'll notice that Cleveland switches everything. So they just automatically switch. Some teams, some players, remember when I was playing basketball, we had particular assignments and our coaches would say, you can switch off that guy, but you can't switch off that guy. When this person has the ball, fine, you can switch. But when this person gets the pick, you stay with, you fight through. In the case of the Cavaliers and their defense, they switch everything. It's just a green light, you switch. And so when Sean Livingston looks as though he's about to go up top and set a pick, the defender is expecting to switch because they switch everything. And so then instead of setting the pick, he drops backward. And if the defender is anticipating and already planning on switching, well, then Sean Livingston has an open lane to the hoop, but also has room back there because the defender would have to backpedal and can't do it quickly enough. And so he was huge. The decision to start JaVale McGee, I thought, worked out. Not only was he 6 for 6, he did not get blocked by the rim. But he also just is a big body in the lane. Interestingly enough, he only had 2 rebounds. So Durant had 9 rebounds. Draymond had 8. Steph Curry had 7 rebounds, whereas JaVale only had 2. But what he does do well is he's a big body in there. He'll box out. He's active. And that creates just a whole different dimension for the Cavaliers to have to get around him. They didn't do a great job guarding him. He also moves pretty well without the ball, and he does well at the pick and roll. And so the moves that Steve Kerr made in this game worked really well, but it was also about the Warriors. It was also about their intensity. It was also about coming out from the very beginning and not going behind double digits. Did you know this was the first time in 4 games, 4 playoff games for Golden State, that the Warriors have not fallen behind by double figures in the first period?
Nerd alert!
And so for them to not trail at any point in this game, like Jim Barnett said when he joined us, this was probably their best best 4 quarters of basketball that they put together all of these playoffs. And so that's huge. Maybe recognizing that the Cavaliers would be more determined. The Cavaliers would be seeking some type of redemption. LeBron James called it one of the worst losses of his career. George Hill said he couldn't sleep on Thursday night. J.R. Smith, obviously, he was the butt of everyone's jokes and even said that. It was glad that it wasn't happening to his teammates. It was happening to him. So it was devastating for the Cavaliers to lose the way that they did. And the Warriors recognized that that could be extra motivation, could really give them an emotional lift. And so they didn't allow that. I mean, yes, the Cavaliers got within 5 a couple of times or 6 here and there, cut the lead to single digits in the second half. But the Warriors never relinquished the lead, and that was big. Now, can they do it on the road? Because that's not that they need to sweep. They do have home court advantage, but that's going to be a big test because you know the Cavaliers are going to shoot better at home. This is a 3-point shooting team. You know they're going to be hoisting, launching, chucking, and ducking from all angles. And you can expect that Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith will be more comfortable shooting from downtown on their own court. All right, so you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It wasn't the only championship series that was in action over the weekend. Did you watch D.C. host its first Stanley Cup final game in 20 years? I don't know. Who's playing better in this postseason, Steph Curry or Alex Ovechkin? Wowzers.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
He's got Kuznetsov with him. Eagle to Kuzi along the right circle. A shot. He scores! He gives him the pterodactyl as he goes to the corner. Kuznetsov from Beagle. 7:10 to go in the second. It's 2-0 Washington. Theodore turning it over to Beagle in front. Spinelli scores! A turnover by Theodore, and it ends up in the back of the net. 6:07 to go. It's 3-1 Washington.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What a scene! In Washington, D.C. on Saturday night, it was the place to be. The Capitals hosting their first Stanley Cup final game in 20 years. And not only did they collect their second Stanley Cup final victory ever, but they now lead a Stanley Cup final for the first time in their franchise history. We're talking about better part of 50 years. Congratulations to the Capitals, but also their fans who've waited such a long time for this. And the atmosphere was crazy. And I feel like the crazier the atmosphere, the better Alex Ovechkin plays. The crazier the atmosphere, the more intense he gets. You'd be hard-pressed right now you could make a case for each one, but you'd be hard-pressed to convince the majority one way or another who's having the better NBA Finals versus the Stanley Cup Finals. So the better final, is it Steph Curry or is it Alex Ovechkin? The way that he sets the tone for his team, how physical he is. He's not the superstar that is afraid to get his uniform dirty. The superstar who's not going to mix it up because he doesn't want to get hurt. The superstar who fears retaliation. Honestly, he and Steph Curry share that. They have this edge to them. Steph doesn't back down for anyone, not even if the guy is LeBron James, who outweighs him by nearly 100 pounds. He does not back down. And neither does Alex Ovechkin. There are a lot of superstars in some sports who, you know, would rather not mix it up. And they've got their guys around them to keep them kind of out of the fray. And that's certainly been the case in hockey. You could name superstars who aren't going to be out there delivering the big check or delivering the big hit. But that is not Alex Ovechkin. And you know what else stands out about this and about him? Going back to Game 6 of the East Finals, major turning point for that franchise, for that superstar, and potentially for their future. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. John Walton with the calls on the Capitals, I almost said Cavaliers, Capitals Radio Network from Saturday night. Some things that stand out to me still, the passing around the net for the Caps has been amazing in this series. It's been precision. It's been pinpoint. It's been heads up. They're always looking for their teammates, are looking for the guys who are coming in behind the puck. And the way that they have moved the puck around and kept the defense off guard, not to mention the fact that the passes are getting where they're intended to go. And so it was good to see Yevgeny Kuznetsov still out there, or back out there, I should say. Again, didn't miss a full game. So he's on the ice and has a goal, and then also assists on the Alex Ovechkin goal. And so for Kuzi, it was a good performance. And he was even making jokes about the hand injury. And so I'm glad that he didn't have to miss any more time. Something else that stood out too about this game is that it was a dominant performance for the Capitals, except for one big mistake by Braden Holtby. If you're watching in the third period, it was a 2-0 game. So it was after the Kuznetsov goal, or after Kuznetsov had made it 2-0, and they're into the third period, and you know, it's still tight. It's tense. The Golden Knights are trying to come up with a push, and they're trying to get at least one goal, just one goal past Braden Holtby. And Holtby goes to clear a puck. I think he was trying to clear it. Maybe he was just trying to get it to a teammate. Whatever he was trying to do, it went horribly wrong. It bounced off a Golden Knight that was a few feet in front of him. So he goes behind the net to get the puck, and he kind of, it wasn't a real strong slice with the stick, and just bounces off a Golden Knight who's hovering around the net and goes right to another knight, and boom, wide open net. I mean, Holtby didn't even have time to come up with that incredible stick save. He was so out of position, I'm not even sure he was even with the net. And so it struck me after game number two the big story and the photos and the videos and the buzz around the Stanley Cup is this incredible stick save up close against Alex Tuch and how it came with 90 seconds to go in their what would eventually be a win to even the series against the Golden Knights, and it happened in Vegas. And then very next game, you've got Holtby making this turnover that will keep you up at night. It'll give you nightmares. And that was the goal that the Golden Knights managed. That was the only one. But the sports gods giveth and they taketh away. Just like in basketball, this made me laugh. It happened, I think it was the third quarter, but I don't quote me on that. When Steph was fronting Tristan Thompson and he manages to, he's literally fronting this big man, and he manages to jump up high enough to tip a ball away and create a steal. And then they get to the under end of the court, and Steph tries to drive baseline and comes up the other side and blocks himself with the rim.
Oh, my God, what just happened?
So he has this incredible defensive play on a guy who's a foot taller than him, approximately, not quite, I guess, but maybe 9 inches taller than him on one end of the court. And then feeling it, he goes baseline and tries to drive past LeBron and get the reverse layup and blocks himself on the other side of the rim. And so basketball giveth and basketball taketh away. Hockey giveth and hockey taketh away. So, yeah, if you're watching and you're paying attention to all these minutes, yes, we can be euphoric about some of the amazing individual moments, but those same guys are going to end up having bonehead plays, too, that they would love to take back. What did Kevin Durant say about J.R. Smith after the opener of the finals? I can't bust on him. I can't rip on him.
He's an idiot.
No, he did not say that. He said, I can't point the finger at him and laugh because there is some really dumb stuff that I do in the basketball court. And I don't know that at that time he was thinking I didn't box out J.R. Smith and that's how he got the rebound in the first place. But, you know, that would have been a moment. 4.5 seconds left. The game is tied. Cleveland Cavaliers on the free throw line. And you don't bother to box out the guy who's right behind you. Yeah, that would be a bonehead moment, Kevin Durant. So, yeah, you play this game for a living, or you play a game long enough, and eventually there are going to be bonehead plays and they're going to be beautiful plays that make highlight reels. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I thought it was fun to see Alex, oh my gosh. Now I'm on with the Alex Ovechkin. It was, again, like a celebrity marriage. It was fun to see Pat Sajak out there, who I didn't realize was a Capitals season ticket holder for like the last 15 years or something. And so he goes out there kind of doing the Michael Buffer thing. Of course, he can't say the famous phrase, but he's out there doing the starting lineups for Game 3. And he made a joke, I think, about his security detail. It seemed somewhat awkward to me. But anyway, it was fun to have him out there. And they did have Wheel of Fortune sounders. So as he walked out onto the ice, there was a doo-doo-doo, like indicating a game or indicating that time's running out, one of those sounders. So that got the crowd really whipped into a frenzy, too. But the only reason I bring it up is because of the tweet that the Golden Knights posted after the game that was actually a play on Wheel of Fortune. Did you all see it? It was good. If you haven't seen it, it's on my Twitter. I retweeted it with some emojis, of course. So yeah, check it out. Just on my Twitter page, my profile page, you'll see it if you scroll down a little bit. I can't do it justice, so I'm going to leave it there. Some of the social media accounts for the different teams out there are absolutely awesome. They really are creative and come up with some good stuff, so you can check that out on Twitter. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Yeah, the atmosphere was incredible, and the Capitals definitely got a boost, a shot of adrenaline, and it carried them through. And they now are even at home in the postseason. You know, they dropped those first two games to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Then they lost a couple of games to the Tampa Bay Lightning when they fell behind in that series. And so going into Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, they were actually 4-5 at home this postseason. But now they have won 3 consecutive games in their own arena.
Well, atmosphere was great. How I said,
The city is excited. The fans are excited. And, you know, but again, it's only two. We just have to move forward and don't think about too much.
Alex Ovechkin, he and the Capitals, in my opinion, turned the corner in game six of the East Finals. That was an elimination game. That was the game where you saw the physical play really make a difference. And it's the stars for the Capitals who are out there setting the tone. And I said it then, and I'll say it now. Here they are with three consecutive wins in their own arena, and they've got the 2-1 lead in the Stanley Cup final. Now, we had talked about this a little bit during the Golden Knights' historic run to this point. They really hadn't been challenged a lot. They hadn't been pushed to the brink, for sure. They did lose the first game. Was it the first game against the Jets? The series in the West Final, they dropped the opener, but then they won four consecutive games after that. And so they haven't been in a place where it's real uncomfortable. Let's face it, their road to this point has been fairly simple, fairly, I don't want to say easy, that's wrong, but it's not been full of adversity. Whereas the Capitals have really had to fight and scratch and claw to get to the Stanley Cup final, not to mention having to go through their nemesis in the Pittsburgh Penguins. And so I wondered how that would play in, the fact that the Capitals are a little more battle-tested. Now, the individual guys on the Golden Knights have been through a lot, James Neal, for instance, and Marc-Andre Fleury. But the fact that they hadn't really had to grit their teeth and face the reality that this could be the end for them. And so here they are now having to adjust and having to recognize that they're getting pretty close to the do or die. You know, it's not impossible. If you fall into a 3-1 hole, you're not dead, but it makes life a whole lot more difficult. And yet Cody Eakin and the others for the Golden Knights are still preaching that confidence.
We have what it takes. It's just going to come from within the locker room and within each other. We're still a confident group. You know, it's one game. We're going to look to come out better.
It's two games. But I understand what he's saying. You're talking about being down one game, and even though you've lost the home ice advantage, you've got a team full of veterans all season long. It was Gerard Gallant who would lean on this core of six veterans, guys like Neal, like Fleury, like Derek Englund, to get the locker room together, to stay focused, to stay determined. And now here is, I think, their biggest test of the postseason coming up on Monday night in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. There's a quick way you can save money if you switch to GEICO. You can get homeowners, renters, and motorcycle insurance, too, at geico.com. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.